This is Will's Band of the Week for October 20th, 2009. Okay, we're on the air.
Awesome.
Welcome.
You're the introduction. You're the host.
Yeah, here we go. Ready? Okay, here we go. Hello, and welcome to another edition of Will's Band of the Week, and this one's just going to be great because not only do we have Barrett here in the studio. Hey, Barrett.
Hello, everybody.
But via extreme technology, we also have Chris.
Hello, everyone. Out there in radio land.
Virtual, non-radio, radio land.
Yes. Literally, people around the world could be listening to this.
They could, yeah. It's all theoretical, but I suspect in short order there will be thousands of listeners from all over the world.
Right. And they can say they listened to one of the first ones that I was on.
Right.
So let's say that one.
Nervous now.
Let's say that one of these listeners had a comment.
Mm-hmm.
How would they get in touch with the show?
Well, they'd go to willsband.net, and they would see there that there is a comment option, and they would do that.
I think it's more likely that somebody would want to file a lawsuit against me, so they would probably contact you through that manner.
Do you have a resident agent for service of process?
Yes.
We could let people know.
I have a podcast attorney on retainer. For anything I may say, you should seriously have a disclaimer on here that anything I might say does not reflect your views.
That's right. It's not
certainly anything I say does not reflect your views.
It's not necessarily the viewpoint of Will's Band of the Week, right?
Exactly.
Yeah, I've got my finger on the 7-second delay button. Because as we said, Chris is not in the broadcast studio downtown here. He's all the way on the other side of the West Side.
Right, so we can't swear, right?
Well, you know, I didn't register this as an explicit content podcast. But you know what? I don't care, so just go ahead.
Well, you know, there isn't a whole lot of swearing and stuff on the internet because I hear they police that pretty carefully.
That's true, yeah.
So, you know, I don't want to run afoul of any internet decency laws.
Yeah, that's a good point. Just think who could be listening or watching.
Right. This is like a job interview for me.
Yeah.
And Barrett.
Yep.
Well, Barrett got the job already, but you're auditioning.
So yeah, welcome to my first and last podcast.
So that's one thing you can use that comment option for. Let us know whether we should allow Chris to be on again.
If
he ruins the experience for you, then
do I get a vote? Or probably
I don't know.
Not.
Let's let the listeners vote.
Okay. Yeah, Barrett's going to comment 24 times. He's going to jam up your website.
Right, under a bunch of aliases. So I was thinking we should have sort of a random music banter section before we get to the band, right? Don't
sure.
you think?
Yeah, that sounds
so
good.
So we were talking about how Chris and I saw Sufjan Stevens a few weeks ago. So do you have any comments about that, Chris?
Do I have any comments about the show?
Yeah.
Well, I thought it was pretty neat in the fact that he, you know, played a really small place when he could have sold out a much larger place. But he only did it because he's just, you know, much like a comic goes out on the road and tries out new material. I think he was just, you know, kind of working out some of his new material and playing for a bigger audience. He may not have been able to get away with it, so it was kind of a really small group that he played for. Probably going to be, you know, in a place that small, it's going to be your most loyal fans, and so they're probably a lot more willing to go along with you on wherever you decide to take them. So, I'm certainly one of those loyal fans, and I enjoyed a lot of the more experimental stuff that he did. So, it'll be neat to kind of see what he comes up with.
I was actually thinking it might be the opposite, that maybe some of the diehard longtime fans would be less satisfied just because, you know, he didn't play all the old stuff. But from my perspective, and I'm compared to you, probably a moderate fan, I really liked the Illinois album. And, you know, he played like some of the key tracks that I think are great, like the John Wayne Gacy song and Chicago. And I thought the experimental stuff was pretty cool. You know, he certainly showed a lot
played,
of talent.
You know, the quote unquote hits.
Yeah.
almost apologetically, like, you know, look, I know I got to play a couple of these, so I'll go ahead and, you know, get these out of the way.
Yeah.
He mixed them in. But I actually think it's more the diehard fans that are kind of willing to go along with hearing some more of the experimental stuff, because they know they're kind of, in the, part of the experiment. They're in the laboratory with him, helping to, trying to work this stuff out. So I just think they'd be more appreciative than somebody who may not be as big a fan, who's just there to hear, some of his quote unquote hits, which aren't necessarily hits, but certainly his best songs.
Yeah. And he hasn't had a new album in like, what, 3 years or something, or four?
Illinois came out in 2005.
Yeah. So 4 years.
He released, was it The Avalanche in 06, I think.
Which was a compilation of some sort?
Yeah, it was the B-sides to Illinois, and there's not a whole lot of great stuff there. There's a couple songs that probably would have fit in right in with the Illinois album, but, just mostly kind of a B-sides compilation type of thing.
Yeah, so I agree. It was cool to see him in a small venue. We were lucky enough to get tickets.
Where did he play? I didn't catch that show with you guys.
The Majestic Theater, which has a capacity of, I believe, 600.
I thought it was even less than that. I thought it was like 400. I could be wrong, though. But yeah, I mean, it's, what does the Barrymore have? It's got like 2,000. Is that what it is?
Well, okay. Name the capacity of Madison, Wisconsin music venues. Okay. So I know we've got, the Orpheum. It's probably 2,000 or so, right? And we've got Overture Hall, which is, isn't it like 2,200 something?
I don't know. I have no idea.
And then we've got the Capitol Theater, and we've got the Majestic, and we've got the High Noon, which I believe is 400. And one of my latest favorites is the Frequency, which has a capacity of 99.
I have not seen a show at the Frequency just yet.
That's a classic small venue. And the great thing is you don't have to have very many people to make it look like you have a lot of people.
Yeah, packed house.
Yeah. So note the calendar there for November 21st. Just a little hint there, okay?
Okay. So
that's,
now I
that's
go
when
back
We
to the
Are Beatrice's
website and figure out who's playing there.
That's when Will's band, real band, is playing there.
Well, good.
November. What day of the week is that?
It's a big time gig. Saturday night.
Saturday night. Wow.
They gave us the early slot, the 6 o'clock slot on a Saturday.
And I was here last week or 2 weeks ago, and you were telling me about some of the new numbers you've been practicing. What can listeners look forward to hearing for the first time at this show? There's an Elvis Costello song, and
yeah, there's an Elvis Costello song, and those bass lines are hard, and so I have to work a lot to learn those.
So you said you're opening. Who are you opening for? Like
no,
Loco?
we're not opening for anybody. We don't open for anybody, Chris.
You just said you're the first on.
Well, yeah.
Technically not an opener, but you're the first on.
What they do at the Frequency is the guy, he's a hard-working rock and roll guy, the owner of this place, and he does a double booking almost every night of the week. There's an early show and a late show, and the early one will start at like 6, and the late one is, maybe at 9 or 10. So he's basically double booking the place.
Mm.
Seems to work for him.
Yeah, I saw you there maybe in the spring.
In May.
It was a good show, in May.
Yep.
Yeah, good venue and good show.
Should we talk about the band of the week, finally?
Sure.
We've got a band this week called Girls. And I was just talking to Barrett before we started this and saying that I was trying to find out a little more about them. And I went to the All Music website. You ever go there?
I was going to discuss this with you as well, but go ahead. Yes.
Well, there are like...
I did a little bio research work myself.
Did the same thing as I did. And there were like 8 bands called Girls. Right? You had to go like way down the list till you found them.
See, it was... it said Girls, but like it numbers them. So it was Girls number 11.
Okay.
The girls you were looking for.
So they're the 11th band called Girls, maybe.
I guess so.
And then Barrett was saying, how do they expect people to find it? You know, you can't just type Girls really on Google.
Kind of a Google-proof name.
We'll see when you...
Like Spoon. You type in Spoon, you're going to get, you know, Crate and Barrel. Yeah. Not what you're looking for. But maybe they've gotten big enough now. I think they've moved up on the Google search results.
What makes it even better is if, you know, you have a band with a name like that, and you want to, you can go and search by album name. Of course, the name of their album is Album.
Right.
So the name of the band is Girls, and the name of the album is Album.
Yeah.
So there you go.
Yep. Well, you know what? I'm sure we've got tons of brilliant stuff to say, but why don't we start it off by playing some music, okay?
Perfect.
So since I'm at the helm here, I get to pick the first song. And it's going to be track 2. This is called Laura.
you got a hot mic, Chris.
All right. Here, I'm going to mute my microphone. It's only because we were trying this before, and I was singing while the song was going on and ruined the whole thing. So, okay. Microphone's going off. Here we go.
I'll fade it out. You'll know when it's safe. Okay.
Your editing there is sure to get us in trouble with the FCC. If you had tuned it out just 10 seconds earlier, you would have gotten rid of two curse words in there. I don't know if you noticed that, but...
Dick Cheney's listening into this podcast, yeah. You know that, right? He's sitting there on his phone right now.
I don't know. Will, you know, you picked that song out. That would have been the first one that I picked out, too. And, before I heard this, I heard that it was reminiscent of Elvis Costello, so I can't say I discovered that on my own, but I think that's a pretty, pretty clear reference.
In vocal style, at least.
Yeah, absolutely.
I think musically it's pretty different with all the twangy reverb and stuff.
Right.
Barrett and I did our podcast at the end of last year. We did our top 10, and I had a band on there that I really liked called Army Navy, and that... Just the vocal style kind of reminds me of Army Navy a little bit. I think they get a little more psychedelic, a little, more ethereal later on in the album. But that song certainly kind of reminds me of Army Navy, and they were on my top 10 list last year. So that I'm certainly amenable to that style.
I have that Army Navy album, but I haven't listened to it for a while.
I haven't listened to it for a long time. I remember after the podcast that we did that Chris referenced, I was going to spend some more time with that, and I don't think I did.
Oh, I would absolutely get your hands on that one again.
Now's your opportunity.
It's got lasting power. One of the few my wife actually listened to, too. So there's that.
That's always good.
Yeah, makes car trips a little better.
Speaking of wives and listening habits, my wife liked this album quite a bit.
My
wife hasn't heard all of the songs, but I'm like, listen to this one, and
My wife was turned off.
Really?
Yeah. She just didn't get into it.
Yeah.
So.
Well, the songs have kind of a depressing, you know, tone.
Yeah.
Definitely.
A little mopey.
Yeah, mopey. And, you know, the song that we just heard, Laura, sounds like an ex-girlfriend that's broken his heart, and he's just desperate just to be friends with her.
Yep.
You know, it'd be funny is if we find out later that while we're on here talking, our wives are all doing their own podcast on the same album.
Yeah.
Trashing each of us.
Right.
Right. Don't turn your dials, folks.
Stay right here.
Stay right here.
Well, I really like this album a lot. So let's just make that clear. I'm just very impressed with it because I think pretty much start to finish, there are very few weak moments. And even within some of the tracks, you'll be halfway through the song and then it'll either take just a complete turn or it'll have some really good solo or something. It's just, it's dense. There's a lot of stuff going on.
I agree. Stylistically, you know, it's, well, I'd say it's all pretty lo-fi, kind of a little bit rough around the edges. And I read somewhere where, well, I guess the band is made up of two guys, Christopher Owen, who's the singer, probably the chief songwriter, and another guy, Chet White. And that Christopher thought that if he had taken more time and recorded this more carefully and with some professional engineers and things like that, I'm not sure what he did, but he thought it was kind of a rush job, and he thought it could have been a new Pet Sounds. And, you know, my thought with that was like, well,
it's
blasphemous, but what if he believed it? Well, that would be incredibly irresponsible to not go through with that and record it professionally.
Well, he can do that with the next one. You know, that's the thing. I mean, these guys are going to get they're going to get far enough with this one. They'll get a good opportunity for release number two. And apparently the label they're on, which is called True Panther Sounds, this is referred to as a baby label of Matador. So, you know, they're probably heading for Matador, I would think.
Yeah, you'd think so.
So, Barrett, what do you think? What should we play next?
My choice is going to be one called Hellhole Rat Race.
All 6 minutes and 57 seconds of it?
I think that was the one I was going to play, but go ahead.
It's a good one.
All right, fire it up. I'll try not to sing along.
Here we go. I probably took an unwarranted cheap shot at the 6 minute 57 second length. I like that track quite a bit, but I think it could have been about 4 minutes and 20 seconds. It repeats that chorus kind of incessantly at the end, I think.
Yeah, and that's, I mean, if I have one, I guess it's not even really a complaint. You know, the album starts out with, you know, a couple jangly, catchy songs, and then kind of in the middle, it gives you a little head fake, and then kind of goes with the more, you know, the slower, dreamier type stuff, which, I think it runs that way for a couple of songs and then picks back up.
Yep.
But, I certainly like the beginning and the end probably a little bit more than, you know, the slower stuff.
You know, I know that from talking to both of you guys that neither one of you, like Chris has said, you know, I'm not a lyrics guy. And Will said as much last time we did a podcast. I think that was off the air. And, but I think on this one, or really the whole thing, it's pretty remarkable how, you know, a lot of music that we listen to is, maybe you guys don't listen to the words like I do, but, just kind of
the snob.
No, not at all. There's that kind of detached irony thing that a lot of bands have, but this guy's just laying it right out there, right? You know, begging. The first song, he's begging someone to be his friend. And on this one, he's like, I don't want to be sad. Just laugh with me, you know? It's not
groundbreaking territory there. I don't want to be sad.
All I'm saying is that there's no irony, no artifice. I think it's pretty striking.
I think my comment was not necessarily that I'm not a lyrics guy, although I don't really listen to a whole lot of lyrics. But I think what I said was if you read an album review and it's primarily mostly about lyrics, the album's probably pretty bad.
That I would agree with.
What do you think of Bob Dylan? And I'm going to only give you 15 seconds.
Here's my take on Dylan. Obviously, you know, he's great. He's a genius and all that stuff. But I think a lot of his greatness and his genius has to be taken in the context in which it was happening at the time. I mean, it's so hard to now go back and think of what it was like when Dylan was breaking on the scene in like 62, 63, or whenever it was, you know, with this folk stuff and then his anti-war stuff and all that. I mean, it obviously still holds up, but a lot, you know, so much of music is kind of time and place and what was going on, the zeitgeist, if you will. And it's, for me, it's just kind of hard to recreate a lot of that.
Yeah, I think that's really true. And I just thought of Dylan immediately when you were talking about, you know, focusing on the lyrics, because that's what you always hear about him. And, you know, imagine if he didn't know how to write lyrics. I mean, he probably wouldn't have made it very far, right?
And then think of a band like the Beatles. I mean, not known for their lyrics at all, I don't think. I mean, they're familiar because you've heard them so many times.
Right, but, right.
No one's ever really focused on their lyrics that I've ever known.
Yeah, and I think late in their career, they really got nonsensical, whether it was LSD or what, but like some of those Abbey Road lyrics are like, what are you talking about?
Right.
Okay, Chris, you got a pick from the Girls album?
You know what? I don't even know the names of the songs on here.
Do you know the numbers?
That's I think that's the reason why this is the first one I'm showing up on, is because some of the other albums that you've done I haven't really liked as much, so I thought it would be difficult, A, for me to come on and talk about an album I didn't really like, and B, to put in the listens that I would need in order to speak about it intelligently.
Yeah.
So, I don't know. You guys just pick something else out.
Well, there's one track that's actually fast, so I think that's interesting.
All right, go for it.
Are you talking
about the lyrics?
Big, bad, mean?
No.
That
no.
One?
Are they convince me not to be sad?
You know what? I don't even know what the lyrics are, so let's find out what they are. This is what I consider to be the only fast song on the album. It's called Morning Light.
Thank you.
Yeah, that was definitely the fastest one on there. Kind of sounded like a wedding present song.
I was thinking like My Bloody Valentine, yeah, or maybe a little Deer Hunter. Although I haven't listened to Deer Hunter too much, but that's kind of what I think of when I think Deer Hunter.
Did you like that one, Chris? Killed him.
He's gone.
He loved it. He died. That is a killer song. Literally.
Okay, what happened to Chris?
Am I on now?
Okay, now you're on.
Oh, you know what? Because I muted my microphone. I'm sorry.
Okay, we'll just pick it up where Barrett said. What did you think of that one, Chris? So. Well, you get to start over. What did you think of that track, Chris?
Here's what I was actually saying. If you're a fan of like indie, quote unquote, indie music or whatever it is, one of the concessions that you generally have to make is you have to be more willing to listen to people who can't sing. But I really actually do like this guy's voice.
Oh, yeah, I do too.
It's very pleasant. And with this, you don't have to make, you know, you don't have to make that deal with yourself that, you know, I can kind of go along with the voice, you know, just long enough to, you know, just as long as the music or the lyrics or whatever are good. So,
yeah,
I agree.
Yeah. So, but one of the things I did want to talk about is we mentioned the biography on allmusic.com. Did you actually read this thing?
Yeah, I did. And Pitchfork had kind of some similar stuff on it, too.
Oh, because this thing sounds like the most ridiculously made-up thing that I've ever heard in my life.
No. It checks out. I saw it on Wiki. You're talking about him being a member of the Children of God cult.
Yeah, he grew up in some cult, and then they traveled in Europe and Asia, and then he just, I guess, decided to break away and move to Texas. And
he found a rich benefactor.
Grocery store where they were... There's so much stuff in here that sounds like completely fabricated. Like he shaved his hair into a mohawk and joined a hardcore band called Hubris.
Yeah.
4 years later, with the help of an older, wealthy music enthusiast, took him under his wing and gave him a part-time job. My BS detector is up on this guy. But, you know, and then, of course, the final sentence is... with a common love of drugs and music, the two started making music together. it's really heartfelt. I mean, it's really when they make like the Disney movie out of this guy.
That's right. The common love they shared. And on the Pitchfork review, which they loved the album also, but it said that they recorded the album under the influence of any pill they could find or something like that.
Yeah, I read that too.
And I'm thinking, I don't know even if that's like actually possible, but maybe people do that.
Well, if they were at my house, that would be pretty benign. You know, you could take some Claritin.
If they were at my house, they'd have boners for 24 straight hours. They'd have to call a doctor immediately.
I think Chris thinks his mic is still off. Hot mic, Chris.
I'll be gone for a couple minutes. I got to go take my pills.
Okay, where does that leave us?
Yeah. Just so you know, the comment section is...
This podcast did need to be spiced up, so I think my strategy now has to be try to do bands that Chris does not hate, so he'll come on. Oh, okay.
You know how you can tell if I like them? Well, never mind. How I get really excited about a band.
Any parting comments? Anything else we should say about Girls, the band?
Barrett seems like he's got a lot more to say.
I have a lot more to say? Well,
I think so. We've been holding you back.
We're going to have to do some editing here.
Barrett has the actual physical CD.
Yep, I have the CD.
And I'm looking at like actual artwork.
Let's stop right there. CD, what's that?
It's a it's like
things.
MP3s, but you can feel it like that. And it comes with a little booklet, and there's pictures of girls and, you know.
These are all the women who must have rejected him.
Yeah, and each one has the name of the song underneath it. And
oh, yeah.
When you read them and you look at them this way, some of the people aren't commented on very, very nicely. But near the end, that's a nice morning light.
Yeah.
He likes that person, but one is called, let me see, Hellhole Rat Race.
Mm-hmm.
I wouldn't want to be the...
The Hellhole Rat Race girl?
That person. And one is called Darling at the end there.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, it's an artifact from the 20th century CDs, and they still make them, like vinyl and buggies and things.
Well, I'm not physically where you are, so I can't gaze upon the glory of this supposed CD or whatever it is. I'll have to take your word for it.
I mean, you can listen to music. You could pop the CD out. If you didn't have a mirror, you could check your hair. You can, lots of things. Sell it back to a used record store if you don't like it.
Since I actually purchased a CD.
Did you hear Baird and I talking about Wilco, in which I believe I stated that I think the last physical CD I bought was the Wilco Sky Blue Sky album. And that was, what, 3 years ago?
About that, yeah.
I'm pretty bummed out about the death of the CD, first of all, because when you have people over to your house, you can no longer intimidate them with the size of your CD collection.
What you have to do is hand them your iPod with a display on it of how many songs you have. You just got to change your strategy a little.
No, but there's just something about a big towering bookshelf full of CDs that
that's true.
People just lose their mind.
Yep.
Well, when you guys go to somebody's house and you see a rack of CDs, isn't your first thing you want to do before you, after you shake hands and whatever, before you do anything else?
Before the wife swapping starts?
Yeah.
Definitely before that. You want to go over there and see what they've got.
Yeah, that's true. Yep.
Not to judge or anything, but you can just sort of see what you have in common. And
well, yeah, it's essentially like having your resume on your wall at your house.
So what we need is like
I don't know if these people are on the level. And you can't do that with all your songs on your hard drive. It's impossible to do. So
well, you need like a digital photo frame that displays the contents of your iPod and just have it as furniture.
Yeah. That would do it too.
There you go. I smell trademark.
I've had a lot of good ideas over the years.
That's a good idea. Attorney ASAP.
What about this? The other side of that is back when you guys did have CDs in your living rooms and stuff, somebody came over and never once went over and checked out what you had. That was just freaked me out when people are like that. Like, why don't you not even curious at all?
What's even worse are the people that like would never listen to anything that's not, you know, top 40 or whatever. So they walk over and they start looking at your CDs, and then they give you the look like they turn away and walk away without discussing any of what they just saw because they don't know any of the bands.
Right.
They're just like, oh, and, you know, changing the topic. And
right,
like when you're a complete weirdo because you don't listen to, like, give me an example.
Jay-Z.
I have a couple Jay-Z CDs.
Okay, let me check. Bad. Well.
But actually, what I still do is I make sure I have a case of CDs in my car. So in the event that I'm ever in a car accident, people at least will then know my dead body will be on the ground, but then my CDs will be next to me, so they'll at least know that I listen to good music. So I put CDs in there that I've never actually really listened to, like Sigur Rós and stuff.
Yeah.
And so I'm sitting there bleeding, and they pick up my CDs, and they're like, oh, you listen to Sigur Rós. Classy guy.
This guy's worth saving.
On the highway, there was a shattered CD case of Sigur Rós next to Chris lying on the highway. What a cool way to go.
The story that Chris told is either true or he's repeated the same lie before, because I think this is actually a true story. It sounds like a joke, but is that true, Chris?
No, I think I actually do have some pretty obscure stuff in my car right now.
I think I'm going to have to look next time I'm in your car. I've been in your car a couple times, and you certainly had the fancy display of the iPod, but I didn't look for any physical CDs.
Yes, in my car, I actually have a stereo system that has a remote control. You know, we've completely lost control of society when your car has a remote control to the stereo. But yes, I do have one of those. It's too taxing for me to lean all the way over and start changing the song.
Right. It saves you like, you know, 1 foot of movement. Okay, what have we done? We've talked enough.
All right.
So Thanks, guys.
Thanks for having me on my first and last podcast.
Well, we might, I don't know. What do you think, Barrett? Should we ask him again?
Let's check the Will's Band inbox. What do we have?
We will.
We'll let the people decide.
We'll check it off the air, and we'll see if we can attract Chris with anything, because I've got a whole bunch of new stuff. So,
yeah, I saw some stuff on there that was actually pretty good. So
let's say goodnight to the listeners now, okay?
Good night, listeners.
Good night, everybody.
Thanks for having us on.
We'll talk to you again in a week.